that God cared. If I didn't think that God knew what was happening, then it would be up to me to take care of it. But I can't. So I'm convinced that the key to really understand empathy is to understand not so much myself, but to understand God and God's character. Because in God's world, in God's kingdom, that He rules over, there is no injustice. There is no inequity. There is no racism. There is no cruelty. There is no oppression. I really want to live in that world. I'll tell you, because the world that I see is just not the world that I want to live in. And I don't like the world that I see around me. So what is empathy? Well, the definition is the ability to put ourselves in another's shoes and to feel their distress. Boy, that's hard. Harder said than done. Or harder done than said. It requires a lot of careful thought. And here's the thing that's so hard about it. It requires that I listen to what people are saying. Well, I don't know if you're like me, but, and Kim will tell you, that I have this horrible habit. Whenever I'm talking to someone, I stop listening after I stop speaking. And when they start speaking, instead of listening to them, what I do too much of the time is I start formulating what I'm going to say next. That's not helpful. That's not empathy. I need to learn and be careful to listen to what everyone is saying. Without prejudgment, I need to just listen. And sometimes it's really surprising when you listen what you hear. People are really very smart. We just miss out on it because we stop listening when we stop speaking. That's a mistake. When you think about God and empathy, you just have to think about it in terms of Jesus, because in reality, Jesus is the empathy of God embodied. If God could come down here and be with us, He would show us empathy. And that's what Jesus did. How many times, as you read through your New Testament, do you find Jesus really feeling for the crowds that were around Him? Matthew, the ninth chapter, just one instance that I picked out. When He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them because they were hungry and helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd. Jesus felt compassion. He knew what those crowds were feeling. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the apostle spends some time talking about why Jesus had to come here. And He came here because He wanted to be our high priest, who could feel what we feel. That's it. That's what it is. He's been tempted just like we've been tempted. He overcame the temptation. He was tempted, but He did not respond with sin. And it is a marvelous thing to know that we have a God who sent His Son here to understand what we feel, who has now gone back to heaven, and He intercedes on our behalf just like He did when He was here. Jesus is consistent. He is a personality. He's not something now that's totally different from what he was when he walked on the earth. So I know who my attorney is up in heaven, pleading my case with God. I've seen him, and I'm so glad that I have him for an attorney. I'm so glad that I don't have to plead my own case before God, because I'd really make a mess of it. So I need empathy. But I need empathy for everyone. I need to find a way to have empathy for people who have been mistreated and for people who feel like they've been mistreated. Even if I look at them and say, you weren't mistreated. I have to have empathy for them because that's what they need. I have to have empathy for police officers who are being mistreated and they're being unfairly judged based on the actions of just a few. Most police officers are the kindest people I know. Firemen, kindest people I know. Who do you know that would rush into a burning building? But they're being mistreated. I need to have empathy for those who just don't realize that they're out in the street protesting. They want to change something, but they don't have the gospel. They don't understand that what they want to change to is God's kingdom. And they're rushing around trying to fix what we have here without letting God be the key. And that's not going to work. So I need to have empathy for them. I need to have empathy for people who were injured or lost their business during the riots. You go down just across the bridge on Colbert Road, you can see the impact that the rioting had here in Eugene. I think I understood it was $7 million in lost, in business losses that people right there suffered because of what they were doing. I have a hard time with this. I have a lot to learn. But I know that I'm going to have to think about God. So what's the conclusion? Well, I think it's Romans 12, verse 15. That's where the apostle brings it all right back together. Romans 12 at verse 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, that's what God follows you. That's what Jesus follows you. Yeah, some people, it's easy to weep when they weep. Some people are real attractive. And I don't mean physically. They're just attractive, kind of like a puppy. Everybody weeps when a puppy is hurt. Everybody weeps when a baby's hurt. How many of us weep when it's a strong man who's hurting because of the actions that he himself set in motion? He deserves our tears or his tears just as much as anybody else. So it's not me. I'm not the key to this. When you get right down to it, it's understanding who God is. If we understand God's mission, then we can understand what our vision in this world is all about. Admittedly, I had something different planned for our discussion this morning. I was going to continue talking about false couples. And we'll keep doing that, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. We'll do that next week. We'll talk about the second couple. But I thought it was critical that we talk about it. What was critical for me? Because I was having trouble. And so I had to think about it because this was what my heart needed. And I have a feeling that it addresses the needs more than just me. If you're here this morning and you look around you and you don't like what you see, I'm here to tell you that God offers something better. And you can be a part of that. You can be a part of that kingdom. You put on Jesus in baptism. You rise to walk in newness of life. What a wonderful thing that is. Those things that used to characterize you, even if those things were unspeakably cruel, are gone. They're not yours anymore. You don't have to be that way. What a grand opportunity that is. So confess that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he came here and he died for your sins. We'll baptize you this morning. If you have not kept that faith, if you kind of lost track of it, it's understandable because there's so much in the world that pulls us away from God. Return to him. Again, let him be your king and let him be the one that you look to tell us how to live with our friends and our neighbors. I wish I could say that we'd sing a song. We can't right now. I miss that. I really miss being able to sing. It's just a little too dangerous. What we've discovered in the research, and Mandy has done a lot of this research, looking at choirs, It seems like when you sing, the droplets in your breath are projected, even with a mask on, about 15 feet. If you take a mask off, they're projected around 30 feet. So we just can't sing, especially not in the assembly. But you can sing at home. Find a good Christian radio station. Sing along with them. And I can't carry a tune in a box.